Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 20. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we trust that the Lord will bless the short reading of His Word and also other verses that will be quoted in the course of this message. Yesterday we have noticed that there are two aspects to the church. With over 100 references to the church in the New Testament, we have two aspects of the church brought before us. One is the church, which is His body. We've decided to stick to the term the universal church. Why the universal church? Because it consists of everyone in the universe, as it were, that had been saved. Those who have gone to heaven, those who are still on earth, believers, and those who are still to be added to the church, which is His body. In that sense, it makes it universal. So that's a universal church consisting of every believer, no matter of race and color and denomination. But then there's a second aspect of the church brought before us in the New Testament, and that is the local church. And that will be our subject for this afternoon. The inauguration of the universal church was on the day of Pentecost. It was a unique event. And we've said yesterday, there will only be one body ever, the body of Christ. That's the universal church. But at the same time, another entity came into being. It shares its name with the universal church. It's also called the church. It shares its members with the universal church. But as we've discovered yesterday, it is very different in nature. As the gospel spread throughout the world, and more individuals got saved and got baptized and were added to the local churches, or were added, more local churches were formed all over the world. So Matthew chapter 16, that we've dealt with yesterday, introduces us to the universal church. We've read from Matthew chapter 18, and that introduces us to the local church. Matthew chapter 18, verse 17. And if ye shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. I'm going to repeat a couple of things that I've mentioned yesterday. But this verse implies that this church addressed here is able to speak. If he shall neglect to hear the church, or to hear them, this church is able to speak. This church is able to hear. Tell it unto the church. It should be able to hear. So that the local church consists of people. People capable of hearing and speaking and making decisions. And not a building, incapable of the same. It is a people and not a building. In introducing the local church, the Lord makes a very interesting but important statement in verse 20. And we've read that. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This statement in itself would give legitimacy to a huge number of gatherings. Many can claim where two or three are gathered together, the Lord is there. But the Lord qualifies the meeting of the local church. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, unto my name, that is the makeup of the local church. It's not just a matter of meeting together. It's just not a matter of meeting together as Christians. It's whether that meeting is unto His name and in His name. That makes a local church. Now, I asked the question on the previous occasion at the conference, what does it mean to be gathered together? And we've answered that question. So I'm not going to go over that ground again. The logical question that follows that question is this. What does it mean to be gathered together in His name? Unto His name. What does that mean? The qualification in my name, unto my name, demands that everything should be consistent with His name. With His name. So that when there's a gathering together in His name, there will be a total subjection to His authority. A total subjection to His control. If it's in His name, there will be a total acceptance of His teaching, of His desires, of His will, of His commands. That is what is being implied by a gathering in my name. Practically, if the gathering is in His name, then we do not compromise truth. Any truth. No matter how hard it is to live out or to practice, if the gathering is in His name, we do not compromise any truth. If the gathering in His name, we refuse sectarian names. Not out of tradition, but because His is the only name to whom we gather. No other name. Who's died for us? Who came from heaven for us? It's Him. When you think of salvation, listen to the words of John. Salvation is in that name. He died for us. Who established the church? Who died for the church? Who built the church? It's Him. And so, if the gathering is unto His name, we refuse any other sectarian name. If the gathering in His name, we'd refuse a one-man ministry. We'd refuse a one-man ministry. Not because we do not believe in special training. We believe because the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and the Spirit of God have gifted men for service in the local assembly. He has gifted men. And when it comes to special training, it's not that we are against special training. It can be good. But I tell you what, I know of men who has already been given the gift by Christ and by the Spirit of God, who engage in special training to become more effective. And we praise the Lord for that. But I also know of men without any gift, without ability, who engage in special training in the hope that they can work up a gift. So nothing wrong with special training. God has gifted men for service whether they are trained or not. If the gathering is unto His name, the sisters will maintain their silence. If the gathering is unto His name, the sisters will be covered and the brothers will be uncovered. Not because of tradition, not because we follow rules, not because we want to obey the elders, not even because we refuse to move with the times. But it's because we have the opportunity to reflect the headship of Christ. Something that will be showed and displayed to the entire universe in a day to come. My brother and sister, we can be engaged in it right now. Right here. But then we hear some arguments, some complaints. Oh, but other places are far better. They have bigger numbers. There's more blessings. There's more success. Other places have outstanding and gifted leaders. Oh, there's a warmer environment. There is great programs. We thank God for that. And we thank God for them. But, and it's a big but, if Christ is not the only authority, if the Bible is not the final appeal, if gift resides in one person alone, if there's a failure to show and display headship, then it cannot be consistent with a gathering in His name. That, my brother and sister, means that the local church is controlled and regulated by the Word of God alone and not by man or man's rules. That means that the local church, as a local church, we do not pick and choose what suits. We bow to the authority of the Word of God. Like Israel of old, we are called not to a place of our choosing, but the place that He has chosen. I want to repeat that. Because we think that we can look at all the options around us, and then based on how I feel, based on where I feel more welcome and where there's a warmer environment, I can make a choice. God's principles haven't changed. We're not called unto a place of our choosing, my choosing. It is God's choosing. So the question is, where's that place? Some would say, the gospel hall. I disagree. Some would say, oh, it must be the gospel chapel. I still disagree. What about the open brethren? Far from it. What about the Protestant church and the Orthodox church and maybe some evangelical church? 1,000 times no. Where is the place? Let's allow the Lord Himself to answer that question. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three, there's a where, there's a place. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's His presence. Is that where you are? It's not because of a name on the building. It's not where I've been brought up, where I think it's right. The Lord says, where there is a gathering in my name and all that it stands for and all that it demands, there am I in the midst of them. There seems to be a correlation between His name, a place, and His presence. His name, a place, and His presence. The concept of a name associated with the place and the presence is nothing new in Scripture. It's nothing new in the New Testament. Because when you go to the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, verse 24, this is what we read. In all the places, you've got the place. In all the places where I record my name. So we have the place, we have the name. I will come unto thee. There's the presence. Where the name is right and the place is right, there will be, according to the Word of God, a presence. It's about a person and a place and a presence. Can I take you to the Old Testament again? During the days of the tabernacle and the temple, there was always one place on earth, and all the earth, there was only one place where God would meet with His people. One place. And that was in the tabernacle when it was moving. And once they entered into the Holy Land, into the Promised Land, it was in the temple in one place in Jerusalem. And so over hundreds and hundreds of years, all the males have to come and worship and meet God in that place. Oh, they had businesses, they had farms, they had families. God says, you stop. When it's time to come and worship me, to meet with me, to sacrifice, you need to stop what you're busy with and you need to travel to the place. Because that's the only place where I will be present, where I will establish my name. That is the place where His presence and the visible glory was seen, was manifested in the cloud and the pillar by fire. But you need to know, there was a day in Ezekiel when the glory and the presence left the place. How sad. The glory and the presence left the place because there was a gathering not unto the name of God. There was a departure from the ways of God and the word of God and the will of God and the mind of God. And so the presence and the glory left the place. That tells me that the presence of God is either there or not there when there's a gathering. The presence of the Lord is either there or not there when people come together. Now, how do we determine the presence of the Lord? How do we determine whether the Lord is present? It's not whether I feel or sense His presence based on the music, based on the vibe, based on the entertainment, based on the atmosphere, based on the warmth, based on the friendliness of the people. So how do we do that? How do we determine His presence? I tell you, it's far simpler than that. His presence is there when the Scripture says it's there. His presence is there when the Scripture says it's there. And what does the Scripture tell us about His presence? Oh, the Lord promised His presence in a very special sense in this verse when they are gathered together in His name. Oh, we can come together on a Sunday morning, on a Tuesday night, whatever time of the day, of the week. We can come together. It would mean absolutely nothing. Oh, you'd say, oh, but we are all Christians. Means absolutely nothing. For it to determine the presence of God, there needs to be a gathering in His name. And we've already discovered what it means for that gathering to be in His name. Everything that it demands, everything that it implies. Where would that be? It would be in the place where His name is the only authority for what is being taught, for what is being practiced, for what is being believed. It would be a place where everything that is taught and practiced and believed would be in line and consistent with the Word of God and not the Word of men and the traditions of men. It will be the place where the Spirit of God has absolute freedom to move. I'm going to close to leave time for two more brethren to speak. But it's so easy to look at a group of people who claim to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who claims a lot of things. And because of that, we sit in judgment on others. My brother and sister, can I encourage you? Exhort you. What they do or what they do not do is between them and the Lord. It's not our place to judge. However, the only thing that should concern you and me is that what we are linked with is in line with His word, and it is consistent with His wonderful name. May the Lord bless His word.